We live in a beautiful world, created for a divine purpose. A complex world designed specifically for our mortal probation. Created under the direction of a loving Heavenly Father, this earth life is full of breathtaking vistas. Who hasn't felt the majesty of the sunrise as it bursts over the horizon, or stood in awe as a cloud-filled sky is suddenly ignited in brilliant colors at the end of a long day? All around us, we can see nature's splendor, tender shoots of spring's green grass, rainfall shine on the ground after a storm, brilliant sparkles on freshly fallen snow, or the spectacle of vivid colors gently blowing in an autumn breeze. Closer to our hearts can be the sight of a familiar face, a parent, a sweetheart, a child, each with unique features that become so ingrained in our minds that even a photograph can draw a tear in their absence. But what if our vision was suddenly no longer possible? What if something happened that either slowly or abruptly took the blessing of sight from us for the rest of our lives? What if we were no longer allowed to see again? What is it like to be in darkness, learning to rely on other senses for our daily activities? What gives a person hope? Vision in a sightless world. While walking among men, Jesus Christ taught that He is the light of the world. Having compassion on those who could not see, He gave them sight, literally and figuratively. The gospel of Jesus Christ gives the children of Heavenly Father the blessed gift of seeing beyond this world, beyond our circumstances, to a far better world with no frailties, nothing withheld in the eternities. Join us today as we discuss how keeping an eternal perspective, our eternal vision, can help us be happy in this world and look forward with confidence to the perfections that will surely come in the resurrection. This is Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen.
21-year-old Macy Lewis is a university student currently studying history and French. A member of the women's course in college, Macy enjoys creative writing, shooting basketball hoops, riding a bike, reading, and playing the drums in a rock band. There's just one detail that makes these accomplishments extraordinary. Macy is blind. Born 17 weeks premature, Macy weighed only 1 pound 2 ounces and was given only a 50% chance of survival. Born with a heart valve that would not close, she was given a drug treatment that put her into kidney failure. The valve reopened, now putting Macy into congestive heart failure. The cardiologist insisted that surgery was needed, but she was too small to be anesthetized. Her weight had dropped to 15 ounces when the doctors turned the decision to operate over to her parents. Macy's family and ward held a special fast, which she believes not only helped her survive those crucial hours at the time, but blessed her with a positive outlook on life that remains today. After surviving the surgery, she was on a ventilator for 8 weeks and in the hospital for a total of 3 months, but miraculously came home without the need for oxygen. In the first year of Macy's life, she had 11 surgeries, 10 of which were on her eyes. She suffers from a condition known as retinopathy of prematurity. The surgeries were attempts to prevent complete detachment of her retinas, but her right eye never responded, resulting in total blindness in that eye. Her left eye allows her to see light and blurred shapes. As a senior in high school, Macy was overwhelmingly selected by her classmates to become homecoming queen. Raised in a loving family consisting of a father, mother, protective sister, a dog she adores, and a cat she loves, Macy intends to graduate from college, be successful in her chosen career, marry in the temple, and have a family. She finds that her blindness allows her to see people for who they really are on the inside, not how they look, saying with a smile, "That's what really matters." She boldly exclaims that God has helped her from the day she was born and continues to lead and guide her each day. She turns instantly to Him whenever she is in need of comfort. Welcome to Enduring It Well, Macy. I'm so glad you're here today.
Hi, it's great to be here.
You don't remember any of this, but your parents, have they told you some of the thoughts they were going through at the time, some of the feelings they had as you were lying there in this critical state in the hospital?
They have told me that they were very concerned, and I'm sure it was a time roller coaster ride for them. And
sure.
They said that they relied heavily on the priesthood for mm-hmm. priesthood blessings, and heavily on their friends and family to be there for them and support them in this decision.
So they went through this. They had to make that decision. Really, it wasn't really the best of decisions to make. On the one hand, if the surgery wasn't performed, the valve wouldn't close, and that would not have been good for you. You would
right.
not have been able to live. And then on the other hand, the other doctor's saying there may be a conflict with this drug and it could cause kidney failure. So they had to make a choice really based on faith, didn't they?
That's right.
And as a result, what happened?
I'm here. I survived the surgery.
Okay, you are here, aren't you? Tell us a little bit about what it's like to spend your whole life not being able to really see clearly. This is an opportunity now for you to tell those of us who are able to see, what is it like to not be able to see?
That's a good question. I would have to say that not being able to see has been my entire life, so I don't know anything different. And I would say some of the most difficult things about that is not being able to see nature, because I love nature and animals. I love animals too.
Mm-hmm.
And especially not being able to see faces clearly, because I don't recognize people when I walk into a room. And if they say hi, then I'll just be polite and respond, oh, hello. And, you know, most, a lot of the time, if I don't know you very well, I won't know who you are. So
you're guessing a lot when
exactly.
that kind of takes place.
That's right.
If you could see anything, what would you look forward to seeing the most?
Probably the faces of my parents and the sunset, the leaves in the fall. And I would like to see the snow-capped mountains and a rainbow.
Mm. Let's go back to the leaves a minute. You know, you've been told they're beautiful when they change colors, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see a leaf?
Well, you can walk up to a tree and pull one down and see that it's orange or yellow or...
So you're able, with that left eye particularly, to be able to see the color of it.
That's right.
And to see the shape.
That's right. Or you can also, what I like to do is use my fingers and feel the texture of it and feel the different designs of the veins on the leaf.
So when you look at a leaf and when I look at a leaf, we're seeing really kind of two different things, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
You're really, with your hands, being able to see things that maybe I take for granted.
Yes.
That makes me jealous. Makes me realize that maybe I've been missing out. Maybe I haven't been paying attention. And I love the color of leaves, and I love watching the change in the fall. Maybe I'm not paying attention. Do you think that those of us who see maybe do that a bit?
I believe so. But I don't think you mean to. You have what I call visual distractions, and you get distracted by other things going on around you, whereas the little bit of sight I have, I'm using it to focus on a particular item, and my other senses take over for the lack of sight that I don't have, and that's how I see my world.
So let's talk about that for a minute. It is said that there are other senses that increase as one is missing or decreases. The sense of hearing, the sense of touch. What have you noticed?
I've noticed that they're not enhanced at all. I'm just more in tune with them. My parents have just told a story about when I was little, and we were down in the basement of my grandma's home, and I think they were watching television. All of a sudden, I said, oh, someone's mowing their lawn, and they all stopped what they were doing and they turned off the TV and they listened, and it was probably, I think they say, it was about a block away. So I think with not having the visual distraction, I hear things better and I just pay attention to what's going on around me a little bit more.
So how do those other senses fill in for the lack of your vision? Which one do you rely on the most?
I rely on a lot, but probably hearing and touch. I like to touch whenever we go into a store. If it's allowed and the things aren't breakable, I will touch a lot. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll knock things off the displays, but...
That's okay. They can clean up.
Exactly.
So tell me a little bit about your daily routine.
I will get up and usually I'll do some studying for school. I have breakfast and get ready and then I leave. I go to school all day and come home and work on homework for the rest of the afternoon. And
you sound like a typical college student to me.
Yes.
So are you involved at all on campus with other things?
I am a history major. Mm-hmm. I do all the classes that pertain to that requirement. And then I'm also doing the women's chorus. It's a non-audition choir with all women, and we sing for an hour and we do a few performances every semester, and it's just a really great thing to have gotten involved with.
So now, when you were in middle school and high school, you were in choirs, is that right?
Yes, I was. I've been singing pretty much all my life.
And I understand your mother had you dance at age 3.
She did. She's a dance teacher, and so I guess she never even thought about it, really, and just said, all right. Her older sister learned dance, so Macy's going to learn dance, too.
What was that like for you, dancing? Do you like to dance?
Not anymore.
But as a little girl?
But as a little girl, I loved it. It was
What did you like about dancing?
I think I liked having the freedom to move around because I was very mobile when I was little. And I liked...
Did that scare your parents at all, that you were mobile when you were little and you couldn't see? Were they? Did they guard you, or did they just kind of let you go?
They just let me go. When it was safe, they would let me go and explore. Yeah, but as I've grown older, I've come, you know, I learned that there's can be, you know, dangerous things out in the world. And so I've unfortunately kind of drawn back, and I don't really like to move all that much anymore.
Mm-hmm. So as a little girl dancing, was there a sense of freedom in that, even though you couldn't see?
I believe there was. I was always partnered with a friend, so I wouldn't fall off the stage or something. But I think I liked the movement and the costumes and the music and just doing something that other kids got to do.
So you like to sing. Music's an important part of your life. What do you like about music?
I love that you can express how you feel through song. I just love music, and I love especially the hymns. When you listen to the words and you really feel the spirit, I think music is a very powerful tool that we can use to share our feelings with others.
So it speaks to your soul in a way then?
Yes.
And you've had the opportunity to be in a couple of choirs. What do you like about singing in a choir?
I like singing in a choir because you are able to hear all the different parts and melodies come together and form one big chorus of song.
Let's go back to your childhood a little bit, Macy. What did you like to do in the summer?
I remember going to swimming lessons and learning how to swim in the pool.
How did they do that with you?
Did they
throw you in the water? What did they do?
You know, the other kids could watch and see what they were doing, but the teacher would come over and show me the arm strokes and make sure that I was doing them correctly. And so they would take the extra time to come and teach me what the right techniques were.
So you're in the 3-year-old class. Why do you think your mom and dad wanted you to have lessons?
I was not afraid of the water, and I love the water, and I love the pool, and I would just go jumping in, and they were worried that I was going to drown. So
it was a preventative thing as much as anything.
But it was also very fun for me. I really enjoyed it.
You have an older sister.
I do.
Tell us about your relationship with this sister.
My relationship with my sister is a really good relationship. We've been really close all our lives. I just like having the companionship of her. Mm-hmm. And we played together a lot when we were younger, and we did a lot of fun things when we were kids.
Tell us about some of the things you played as a young girl.
Well, the little girl classic, we always played with the dolls and the Barbies, and we always would, you know, play dress up, and or she would teach me different little games, like board games, and she was really great, and we liked to draw. And
I'm fascinated with you, Macy, because it occurs to me as you're speaking that you are in this visual world without vision, and you're doing the things that people that have their vision do, and you're just participating right along with them, playing games that you've never seen, learning how to play those games in a different way, playing with dolls that you may never see their face. What was that like?
My play was just like any other little three-year-old. It was just the same as anyone else, you know, with the imagination and just imagining up little things. And
tell me about your imagination. Do you think you have an imagination?
Oh, absolutely. I think everyone has an imagination. It's gone now that I'm in college.
As you played these games with your sister and your friends, what did you enjoy about that?
I enjoyed having the companionship and having friends who treated me like someone who was normal. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that they didn't judge me by my lack of sight. And they just said, all right, if we're going to play a board game, then someone will team up with Macy and show her how to play, or help her move the pieces around the board. And
you were okay with that, right?
Absolutely.
Because you get to participate.
Exactly.
Did you know of other kids that maybe shied away from you or afraid of you?
No. I didn't.
What other things did your family do when you were younger?
We would take vacations.
Where did you go?
Well, my grandmother had a condo down in St. George, so we would go to St. George a lot. And other places like California, we'd go to the beach, and that was really fun.
Describe the ocean to me.
Oh, the ocean's a beautiful place. I love the ocean. It's relaxing. I love feeling the sand under my toes. And I love the waves, just the sound of the waves crashing up onto the shores. Magnificent.
Did you walk out into it?
Oh, all the time. It's more difficult because I don't wear my glasses. I can't see if there's a drop off or a hill or something, so I have to be careful about that. But I'll get in the ocean and swim around.
Do you ever find seashells or anything like that?
I have.
How do you find them?
Just by digging around with your toes.
Spending time down there with your family, what was your sister in there a lot with you in the ocean?
Oh, all the time. We would play in the ocean together, and she would help me find shells and just be a sister. When we would go out in the ocean and we'd be playing around and looking for shells and things, she would always tell me, okay, a wave's coming, let's get ready to jump. And she'd take my hand and we'd jump in the waves. And it was really fun.
Isn't that amazing to have a friend, a special friend, a sister that can hold your hand and help you jump those waves?
It's fantastic.
Is she protective of you?
Very protective.
What way?
She would always make sure that people were nice to me. And at school, she would always make sure that my friends were treating me with respect. One night, my mom was cleaning the house, and I had been very naughty and thrown all my toys and some clothes under the bed. And she found out, and she was giving me a lecture about how you're supposed to put things away properly because I won't be able to find them because everything's unorganized and I need to be organized. And I just was like, I'm not going to put up with this. So I ran away to the front porch. And I was adamant I was going to stay out there overnight and sleep in the cold. And I was not going back in there in the house. And my sister was so worried about me, she started feeding me carrots, and she got me a glass of water and was feeding me carrots and was like, eat so you don't get hungry. And she was so worried that I was gonna stay out there all night.
So she was sneaking food into your
she
little
was Well, we were at Disneyland on one of our vacations, and my sister and I had decided to go on the Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And when the ride was over, we were getting off, and the ride operators were kind of getting frustrated because it was taking me a little bit longer to get off the ride. And my sister got angry and said, hey, she's blind. You gotta be nice to her. She can't see what she's doing. She needs more time. And so they apologized, and that's when we learned about the special pass at Disneyland, and that you can go through the exits of the line where you really don't have to go down too many stairs, because that's can be a challenge sometimes. And you can get on the ride, and they will slow the ride down for you so that it is easier to get on and off of.
It's one of the real benefits of our lives sometimes when those of us who have that opportunity have that pass, isn't it?
It is.
We found that we could have gone on all the rides by 10 a.m.
It's so true. We love Disneyland.
What is the night like for you?
I don't really prefer to be out in the dark unless I'm with someone. Even though I have my cane, I don't really like to be out there because I can't see the sidewalk enough. But I enjoy that. I enjoy nighttime. Mm-hmm. I love to see the moon because I can see it when it's a full moon. I can see that it's big and glowing, and I'll take pictures of it on my phone.
Tell us a little bit about some of your other hobbies. You like to sing and did a little bit of dancing as a young girl. What other things do you like to do?
I love to read. Reading is one of my favorite things. I like to, in the summers, I get books and books from the state library here, and they'll send them to me in Braille, and they're usually in big crates. And let's see, last summer I actually read David Copperfield by Charles Dickens, and that book was in, I believe, six of those crates, just cram two or three big Braille volumes in each crate. Mm. And I just, when I would just read and read and read. I would read all day long if I could.
What's your favorite scripture?
Ooh.
Or a scripture story?
I don't really have a favorite scripture story. I like to read all of them, but I would have to say one that stands out to me is probably when Jesus Christ is healing all the people who are sick or afflicted, and he heals them and makes them better.
Do you remember that even as a little girl, those stories of his healing?
I do.
And what did that do for you as a little girl, knowing that he was capable of doing that?
It made me very happy. And I think it's just grown into this excitement, mm-hmm, to where I know that I will see my Savior again and that he will make me whole.
Mm-hmm. So there's a real something to really look forward to there in his, not only in the stories of what he did while he was here, but you know that that'll also have an effect in your life. Is there a particular scripture, a particular story that's helped you in a really difficult time? Something that's given you courage to be able to face some of the adversity, some of the trial that you've had to face?
The one that stands out to me is the story of Job, because he starts off and he has all of his land and his sheep and everything's going really great for him. And then, you know, one day, you know, his flocks die and he just gets afflicted with all of these trials. And it seems like everything is just going wrong for him all at once and he can't stop it. But yet his faith is so strong and he remains firm with his faith and in the Lord, and he is true and he prevails in the end.
You're listening to Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen. For a complete archive of past episodes of Enduring It Well, go to www.radio.lds.org and click on Enduring It Well. Be sure to subscribe to future Enduring It Well podcasts by clicking on the Subscribe to Podcast link on the page. Each time a new episode of Enduring It Well is aired, you will be notified automatically. Join us after the break for more of Enduring It Well, the Mormon Channel's new program of hope and peace. Life isn't easy. It was never meant to be easy. This life is a time for learning and growth. The Mormon Channel invites you to tune in to our new program, Enduring It Well, hosted by W.A. Christensen. Enduring It Well examines some of life's hardest challenges and, with the help of real people, puts those challenges into perspective. Topics discussed on Enduring It Well include chronic pain and suffering, when the doctor gives bad news, facing fear, life's final moments, nursing others, parenting the parent, losing a sibling, and other topics. W.A. Christensen has candid discussions with real people in crisis, a reality show that informs and inspires. Learn how others face hard trials with determination to succeed, all while trusting in a divine plan. Listening to Enduring It Well could make a difference in your life today. Enduring It Well, only on the Mormon Channel.
My passion is the drums.
So, Macy, why the drums?
You know, I have, ever since I was little, I've always had this fascination with drums. I think it's because they make different noises, and they're kind of the backbone of a band, and they help set the mood of the song, whether it's a jazz song or a rock and roll song or, you know, whatever it may be, you can make different noises. You actually have the right to bang and be loud.
It's kind of controlled chaos.
Exactly. I just had the rhythm in me. We did a rent-to-own set, and it's been my buddy for the past 11 or 12 years now, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
So you're still playing and you love it?
Absolutely. Drums is also a release for me.
So Macy, tell us a little bit about what it was like being in school.
School was very fun. I really enjoyed it. All the way from preschool up to high school. And high school was very fun. I had the opportunity to take all the classes that I wanted and to be in the a cappella and madrigal choirs my senior year. And people were always really nice to me, and they were really friendly. But I did have my little circle of friends who I would hang out with on the weekends and go to football games.
And what did those friends do for you?
My friends were great. They were so caring, and they were just so kind, and they would come pick me up, and we would go to the football games or the basketball games together, and we'd sit together, and we'd cheer, and everything, and then we would usually go out and get ice cream or get a yogurt or something after.
So now I understand that it culminated in something really quite unique and quite a wonderful moment for you and for the whole community, the whole high school. Tell us what happened.
Well, it was at the beginning of the year, and one day one of the guys from the Men's Association Club came in, and he came over to me, and he hands me a packet, and he says, "Macy, have your parents help you fill this out, because it's a packet to be nominated for Homecoming Queen." And I was shocked. I just looked at my friends, and they were just like, "Oh my gosh." And so I took the packet home, and we filled it out. And so I decided to play the drums for my skit, and I was really quite excited for the competition, because there was the assemblies where we had to dress up in dresses and you got to be escorted and then you did your skit. And I went out with my cane and I said, "This is the stick you normally see me with." And then I pulled my drumsticks out of the Macy's bag, and you could just hear the students in the crowd going like, "Holy cow, she's gonna play?" And so I went up there and I did my little skit, and then I made it past the assembly round. I don't know what could, if I make it to the next round, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because you want to get really excited, but you don't want to get your heart set on something, because it's a competition and you just never know. And so I advanced to the final round, which really was people voting. And that you have no control over. So for the rest of the day, I had to walk around in my dress so that people could see me and recognize me. And so the next day, we would find out the winners who won at a school assembly. And the tradition at our high school is everyone gets a car, whether it's a convertible or some kind of old-fashioned car, and you sit on the back and you ride around the track, and everyone gets introduced to the nominees. I was one of the middle girls, I believe, and so we pull around, and everyone's cheering, and you wave, and then you get to stand on the football field with your dad. And that was really special for me, too, because I was thinking, "Oh, yay, my dad's here, and he's all dressed up in his tux, and it's really quite a special occasion to be a part of." And so at last it came time for the announcement to happen. So the second attendant was announced, and I'm thinking, okay, it wasn't me. I still have a shot, but I don't want to get too excited, because the letdown would be kind of hard. And then the first runner-up was announced, and I'm thinking, okay, I've got a shot here. But at the same time, I was thinking, don't get your hopes up, because if it doesn't turn out, then, you don't want to be all sad. And so I was just sitting there, and they walked up, and they said, "Your new homecoming queen is Macy Lewis." And I jumped up, and I just started screaming, and I couldn't believe it. And I hugged my counselor, and then I hugged my dad. I should have done it the other way around, though. Everyone was just jumping up and down and screaming, and I could not believe it. I had always thought when I first attended high school, that would be so cool to win Homecoming Queen. And to actually live that experience was amazing. And so I walked down and I was able to meet the other girls, and we all run up and I got my crown and my sash, and then it was just kind of like a big celebration, and I was just stunned that I had won. It was really incredible, and it really made me grateful to the student body, because I didn't think that I would have won, but they wanted me to.
So what does that tell you about that student body of yours?
It says that they really admired me and respected me and thought that I was worth giving that great honor to.
And I would second that.
Well, thank you.
How can people with vision help the visually impaired without invading their privacy?
That's a tough one.
Because surely you understand that there are good people out there. You've mentioned it already. There are good people that want to help if they can. And yet you want to maintain that independence. So where's the fine balance that takes place?
I think... I think that if someone sees someone who's visually impaired or blind, they should go up to that person and just ask if they need help. And if they don't, they'll, you know, say, "Oh, I can get it. I don't need your help. Thank you." Because I think, you know, we don't know if someone's struggling or if they need help. So I think always asking is all right. And then, you know, just kind of walk away if they say they don't need their help. Because know that it's not, we're not trying to be rude.
What are some of the other challenges you face that we may not be aware of?
In all aspects of life?
Yeah.
I think just the daily challenges of, you know, when you get up and you're worrying about your outfit, if it matches, if it's clean. I don't see those things, so that's why I have my mom. She's kind of like my fashion consultant and hairstylist and makeup artist. She understands that I want to look fresh and clean every time I walk out the door, and so she makes sure that I have a matching outfit and makes sure my hair looks all right and that my makeup's good. And then just kind of the simplest things, like putting toothpaste on a toothbrush. You know, I use my finger. I can see the toothbrush a little bit, but I use my finger to kind of be a guide to the end of the toothpaste or the toothbrush, so I don't get toothpaste all over everything. And then, you know, like making breakfast. That's another challenge. Just, you know, I can use the toaster and use the microwave, but I haven't mastered the oven yet. There's just little obstacles.
It's overrated.
Well, I think my parents are glad that, you know, I don't try with other supervision. I burn down the house.
Macy, tell me, have you ever been really discouraged about your lot in life?
I think that everyone gets discouraged about their life in some one instance or another, and it's just a natural thing. You're gonna feel down about something, whether it's work or school or, you know, whatever it may be. But I feel like even though we all go through a phase or an instance in our lives where we feel down, that life is not all bad. Life is something that we shouldn't take for granted. And I feel when you're feeling down, the one thing that you should do is find a quiet place and get on your knees and pray.
And that is your So you have those discouraging times, but that's, you find that to be your, what really helps.
Yes. There's been instances where I feel like no one understands, not even my parents, no one understands what I'm going through. No one knows. Mm-hmm. And that's in the times of trial when I'm really sad and discouraged that I'll go to my room or in another quiet place and I'll get on my knees and I'll pray and I'll just say, please, you know, just help me to feel better. Give me a hug.
So what would you say to someone who may be losing their sight or has lost it and to keep them from being discouraged? And what would you say to them to help them know that they can still enjoy life?
I would have to say to that person, it's okay to be discouraged, and it's okay to be afraid for a little while, but the way that I see it, you can't go through life being discouraged and depressed about your situation, because that's not the type of life anyone should be living. And I would say, try and, you know, talk to your family, get someone to help you go out into the world, and maybe go find a group or an organization to get involved with who specializes in helping the blind, and you will learn wonderful things from them. But mainly I would say, if you're feeling scared, that's fine, but, you know, try and figure out ways to adapt different. You will become very resourceful with your lack of vision.
Macy, is it possible to conquer blindness?
I think it is. I think what that means for me is not letting anything stand in my way.
What lessons have you learned from your trial?
I have learned to be grateful for everything, not only the good times, but the challenges. I've learned to appreciate others for who they are, not by how they look on the outside, but who they are for on the inside. And I think I've learned to see the world in a different light than most people.
So tell me, how has that trial of yours blessed your life?
The biggest blessing is being close to my Savior. He just knows what I'm going through, and He knows when I'm really happy, or He knows when I'm down and discouraged and despair. And I know that He will always be there and that He will never leave me.
Well, and clearly He had compassion on the blind, because as we look at some of the amazing miracles He did, that was one of those that really showed He was the Son of God, His ability to heal the blind. So obviously He knows that's a challenge, and you know you've got that challenge, so there's got to be a connection there to some degree.
I believe there is.
So tell me then, how has your knowledge of the gospel, and particularly the great plan of happiness, lightened your path, lightened your life?
Wow. There's nothing like this, the plan of happiness. It's quite remarkable to know that we're all gonna return to our Heavenly Father someday, and we all, our imperfections will be erased, and we will all be perfect. And I think every day I wake up and I am so grateful that I have the sight that I do, and that all the surgeries that I went through worked, and I am able to have the sight that I do, and I can see the colors and the people, not very well, but I can see enough, and I'm so blessed to have the knowledge that I do, and knowing that someday, maybe not tomorrow, or it could be a really long time from now, but I'll be able to see people's faces, and I'll be able to see my family and my friends and others that I love, and I'll be able to see nature and everything that I've longed to see. I'll be able to read, and it'll be, I'm sure, just magnificent. I would like to become closer to God because He has helped me in so many ways from the day I was born, and He leads and guides me every day. And sometimes life is hard, but I take great comfort in knowing that my Savior is always there for me, and He understands what I'm going through, even though others might not understand. Even though life is hard, I'm always grateful for my challenges. It might sound funny to people, but I wouldn't have it any other way. Because I'm able to see people for who they truly are on the inside and not how they look. I believe that we should love one another for who they are on the inside and not by how they look on the outside, because that's what really matters. I love this gospel so much, and I'm so grateful to have it in my life. I just want to say that this gospel is the most amazing thing that I have ever experienced in my life. And I am so grateful to have it in my life and to be allowed the privilege to have so many blessings that are bestowed upon me, because I feel a little inadequate to be receiving these blessings, but I know that Heavenly Father has a bigger plan for me, and He wants me to use the blessings that He bestows upon me for something bigger than what my mind can see. And I don't know what that is, and I probably won't know what that is until I can return to heaven and my knowledge will be expanded greatly, and I will see the impact of what I was able to do on this earth and how I was able to help others with my story, with my challenges, with my unique life that I've had and I've been so fortunate to have. And I'm so grateful to have a loving family, amazing parents, a wonderful sister, and a fantastic extended family who supports me through whatever I do and in everything that I do. And I'm so grateful to have been given the opportunity to be in this wonderful family. And I love them so much. And I love this earth and everything that is on it. The beautiful nature that we have the opportunity to look at, and the people who we have to meet. They will impact your life in one way or another, but everyone has something unique about them, and everyone has a story to tell. Jesus Christ loved everyone, no matter if they were sick or if they couldn't talk or whatever it was. He didn't care. He didn't care that they may have looked different or what was wrong with them. He chose to love everyone for who they were on the inside, and that's how we should all try and be.
we live our lives with our vision. Our vision is one of those important senses that allows us to see where we're going, what we're doing here on this earth. Yours has been impaired, and you've had to adjust and find your way around that. What does your vision of the eternities do to help you as you struggle through this life?
That's a great question. Knowing that I'm going to be perfect, it makes me realize that I should not take this life on this earth for granted, and I should be trying to live it for everything that it's worth, even though it's hard sometimes, because the things that I am experiencing on this earth will be carried over into the eternities, and that will help immensely, because our prophets and apostles tell us, and even in the scriptures, it says that we should all learn as much as we can on this earth, because when we return to our Heavenly Father, our knowledge on this earth will be taken over and into the eternities, and our knowledge will be infinite. We will know everything, and everything will make sense. I'm grateful for everything that I've had the opportunity to experience, and the things that I will experience. I know some of them won't be ideal, but I know that all of them will be able to teach me, and I'm so happy to be living the life that I am. It's the best life. It's very important for all of us to keep that eternal vision in our minds, because we know where we're going. We know that we're going to see Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ again, and we know how important it is to use the gifts that they have given us, the knowledge that we can learn on this earth. The things that have been created, obviously Heavenly Father had something to do with it, so we would be able to advance and be able to save lives and use our knowledge for good. If we keep our eternal perspective in mind, then we will be able to use what we have on this earth and be able to make it a million times greater when we return to heaven. I believe that I will be able to see why I was given, why I was born so prematurely, why I had to go through life with my lack of sight, and why I had to overcome the challenges that I was dealt. And I will be able to live with my family and everyone else again, and I will be able to see them, and we will all be healed.
You've been listening to Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen, discussing the challenges that life brings. Tune in next time to another candid discussion of facing life's trials with courage, conviction, and faith. This has been Enduring It Well, the Mormon Channel's new program of hope and peace.